Well, good morning, friends. It is so good to be with you on this Tuesday morning. I pray, as is our goal, that you are having a good morning, because that's not just the name of this live stream, but it's really our prayer is that you will continually have a good morning and God would bless you. And so it is so good to be with you today. We want to jump right into the word because we got somewhere to go today. We've been talking about the blessing, and man, this has been so good, so revolutionary for my thinking and my, I don't know, yeah, maybe you already know all this, but even if you do, it is such a good reminder of just the power of what happened at Calvary, the power of what happened at the cross, and how we should be living in light of that today is, and I think, you know, one of the things that just keeps ringing through my mind is we celebrate that at the cross, right? Jesus died and shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, that we could have eternal life. And that is obviously incredible. Good morning, Tracy. Good to see you. And we celebrate that. We honor that. I mean, if that was all that he did, come on, somebody, that would be enough. But the fact of the matter is that isn't all that he did. And he did a lot more than that. But he, we read through scripture, hey, good morning, Tanisha, that he not only forgave us, but he redeemed us from the curse of the law that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. We talked about what that is yesterday. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply, and your descendants will possess the gates of their adversary. So this change and the shift in thinking in the life of a believer really needs to be rooted in the aspect that Christ died to give us at the cross more than just forgiveness. Again, I do not want to be, you know, taken as, good morning, Cheryl, good to see you, taken as, you know, like that is a small, insignificant thing, because it's not. If that's all that he ever did, come on, that would be more than enough. But as I said yesterday, it's not my fault. I'm not the one who wrote it. I'm not the one who decided what was going to be given at the cross. I'm not the one who established the covenant. Jesus and his Father, God, decided that. So I'm just a partaker. So I have a choice in my hand. I can either say, well, I'm going to receive the terms of the covenant. I'm going to receive the terms of this agreement, or I'm going to reject it. And it's just a reminder, this whole series has just been kind of a reminder for me that, you know what, his life was too costly for me to reject anything that he wants to give me. Therefore, I'm going to take everything that he died to give me at the cross. And that's what we're leaning into, because a part of that is the blessing, is that he wants to give us the blessing to restore it back like it was to Abraham, to give it back like it was to Adam. Amen. So I want to dive a little bit more into the terms of what we call covenant, if you will. What does it mean to be in covenant? What does that look like to be in covenant? How does that impact our life? So I want to look at it from a little bit of a different light than maybe we have in previous days. But I want to look at it from a story that actually has nothing to do, what all has to do with Jesus, understand that, but is actually between David and Jonathan. And if many of you know about covenant, this is a very familiar passage of scripture when it comes to covenant, but I want us to hear it again today. So 2 Samuel chapter 9 and in verse 1. So this is a time in David's life where Saul is dead, and Jonathan is actually now dead. David comes into power. He becomes king. He becomes lord, king over Israel. And one of the things that he does is he makes this statement, and we'll dive into it a little bit. And David said, is there any still one left? Excuse me. Is there still anyone left from the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness on behalf of Jonathan? Now there was a servant from the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, who they summoned him to David. The king said to him, are you Ziba? He replied, I am your servant. The king said, is there no one else from the house of Saul whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba responded, there is still one son of Jonathan, a crippled on both feet. The king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he is at the house at Lodabar. So King David sent and brought him to the house, brought him from Lodabar. Now, I want to pause right there because I want us to see real clear what's happening here. David and Jonathan, I'm going to turn there and read it for you. Long before Jonathan dies, make a covenant. And this is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 16. And it says, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David saying, may the Lord require it at the hand of the enemies of David. Jonathan made David swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So before Jonathan died, he came into covenant with David, right? And make this covenant with him, and the covenant was established. So now Jonathan has died. David is in authority. He's king. And what happened in the life of Mephibosheth is most times in Bible history is when a new king would take the throne, he would actually go and destroy all of the family of that was remaining from the previous king. Why? Well, because it wasn't uncommon in those times for somebody in the other king's family to try to take out the new king so they could establish themselves. And, you know, it was like, you know, who can we kill? Just, you know, whatever, to be established on the throne. So to prevent that, many times the new king would come in and say, is there anyone left in the house of, you know, the previous king? If there is, get rid of them, because I'm not having some kind of rebel cause rise up. I'm not doing, you know, we're just going to take care of all that from day one. Get rid of them, then we don't have to worry about it, right? Like, it's not a nice thing, but it was something that they dealt with so much in that day that, you know, probably from the king's perspective, you might be able to understand it. So when David comes into authority, comes into kingship, what happened in Mephibosheth's case is there was a nanny, if you will, a servant who, when they heard that David was becoming king, grabbed Jonathan. She was in charge of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, and started running with him. And the Bible would say that she actually dropped him, which caused him become lame in both of his feet, you know, probably had something to do with his spine. And then he went to this land called Lodabar, which literally means a place of no pasture, hiding out and praying to God that David would never find out that someone else from the house of Saul and Jonathan survived, because it probably would mean Mephibosheth's life. So when David says, hey, is there anyone left from the house of Jonathan? Right? Like, this was a, this isn't going to turn out good for us, right? So when he says that, you know, there's kind of this fear attached. But when he says that I may show him kindness, and here's what we want to see, right? That I may show him kindness on behalf of Jonathan. That I may show him kindness on behalf of Jonathan. This is a picture. A lot of what happens in the Old Testament is a picture and a foreshadowing of what is coming in the New Testament. I know I'm diving deep for 8:10 in the morning, but just hang on with me, right? The reason that he showed kindness to Mephibosheth had nothing to do with Mephibosheth. I want us to see that. The reason he showed him kindness had nothing to do with him, but had everything to do with a covenant that David and Jonathan came into in agreement back in 1 Samuel, right? So as a result of that covenant, Mephibosheth is going to be shown kindness from David. But I want us to get that it has nothing to do with Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth may not even been born when David and Jonathan came into that covenant. And if he was probably still young. He didn't do anything to initiate it. He wasn't even there. He had no part of it, but he is a benefactor of the covenant that was entered into between his father and David. Are you with me today? That's why when we read that God could swear by no greater, he would swear by himself, right? So God made a covenant with his son, Jesus, at the cross, which you and I were not at. You and I were not there. We didn't initiate the covenant. We weren't a part of the shedding of the blood. We weren't even a foreshadow of a thought in our great, 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 great grandparents' mind. Like we weren't even here yet. But the Bible says that he knew us from the foundations of the world. So in his mind, he knew us and said, I'm going to initiate a covenant between myself and my son because I can't swear by any greater. The covenant will be established between myself and my son, so that all who would come after would experience kindness, mercy, favor, blessing, not because of anything that they have done. Here's what I want us to get, because sometimes we talk about, oh, blessing, I will bless you. Yesterday we talked about that. What's my name? Blessing. What's my name? Multiplying. What will happen with my children? They will possess the gates of their adversary. Everything I put my hand to do will be blessed. My enemies come against me. They're going to flee in front of me seven ways. And we can, you know, there's that part that we can like kind of walk around. You don't know who I am. My name is blessing. My name is multiplying. And whatever I put my hands to do is going to be blessed. And we can kind of pat ourselves on the back. But that's just what I want us to see when we're talking about the blessing. And this is why we approach God with such a heart of humility and praise and honor. This is why when we come into his temple, we come in with shouting and rejoicing and celebration, because the covenant, the reason I received the blessing is because God established a covenant with his son on the cross. That his son would, remember how when we talked about covenant, there was the exchanging of names. There was the scar on the wrist. He literally, the Bible says, we receive his name. He became sin for us. He took our place that we might become partakers with him. We receive the covenant not because of what we have done, not because of how good we are, not because there's anything good in us that deserves it, not because of our status, not because of our works, not because of our deeds, not because, well, do you know who, you know, my family line is, and, you know, my education, I can have, you know, ABC soup after my name, you know, so I deserve the blessing. It has, as soon as you enter into that pride, you cut yourself off from the blessing. But you receive the blessing when you realize this has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with me or my ability to receive it or my right to receive it. I have no right to receive the blessing. But just as David came into covenant with Jonathan, he said, is there any left? Oh, I want to preach. I want to preach in this studio this morning. He said, is there any left in the house of Jonathan that I may show them kindness. And in other words, that I may bless them, not for their sake, but for Jonathan's sake. Come on, I hope we get this today. That God is literally looking and saying, is there any? Remember we read yesterday. Hold on, let me read it to you. I know it's here in my notes. Here it is, Galatians 3:29. If you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, when we are in Christ, when we receive Christ, when we enter into that relationship with Christ, we become heirs to that covenant. So what does that mean? It means that God is literally looking throughout the earth. Just as David said, is there any left from the house of Jonathan that I may bless, that I may show kindness to? God is literally looking through the earth and is saying, is there any in Christ that I may bless and show kindness to for the sake of my son, Jesus? For the sake of my son, Jesus. Why? Because his blood still cries out from the earth, mercy to all who call upon it. His blood still cries out from the earth and says it forgiveness and covering for those who would accept that redemption. So I want us to get this, because again, we will fall, we'll come short. You can be on either end of the scale. You might think you've done something to deserve this, or the enemy might have you convinced that you are so below deserving this. But let's just settle that today. The blessing is not coming on you because of anything you did or did not do or can do or cannot do. The blessing is coming on you because Jesus took your place at the cross and gave you the name that was above every name. And now God says, for those who would call upon that name, I will show kindness to, I will bless. Why? Not because of what you've done, but because of my son, Jesus. Come on, that frees me. That lets me know I didn't do anything to earn it. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I can't do anything to get rid of it. All I have to do is say, I'll take it. I'll take it. The story of Mephibosheth would go on. And he would send for Mephibosheth. And I always love considering that part of the story. Is, first of all, Mephibosheth was living in a place called Lodabar, which literally means the place of no pasture. It means dry, desert, no pasture. Probably water was a distance away. Cripple on his feet. No, you know, way to get around to do anything. Trying to stay under the radar to make sure that nobody knows he is left from the house of Jonathan. And David says, well, go get him. And I just picture Mephibosheth laying on a dirt floor in his little hut in the place of no pasture, broken, defeated, discouraged, wanting, needing help, and finding no solace anywhere. Am I preaching about anybody else's story but just mine? And one day, he hears the chariots from a distance. Somebody runs in and says, Mephibosheth, David's armies are coming. And I'm sure fear struck in his heart. Because if history would prove true, David was making sure there was no one left. Oh, I don't mean to preach. But we deserved death. We deserve eternal separation from God. We deserve hell because of what we've done. That's what we've deserved. And outside of Jesus, when you see would see God at coming, when you would see, you know, like the chariots, the armies of David approaching, like that's how many people operate, because it's like, oh no, if God really knows that I exist, so it's easier to just pretend that God doesn't exist, because then maybe he won't know that I exist, which is laughable within itself. Fear would strike in the heart of humanity. Why? Because if God knew that we exist and he knows what we've done, then surely this means destruction for us. But what I love is that when they come in, they yell, "Are you Mephibosheth?" "Yes." "Come with us." He's loaded into that wagon. Remember, he can't walk on his own. Brought into the palace. Sat down in front of David. David says, "Are you Jonathan's son?" Let me read this to you. David said, verse 7, "Do not be afraid, for I will certainly show you kindness on account," I love that, "on account of Jonathan, your father. Listen, I will return to you every field of Saul." Every field of Saul, your grandfather and your father. "And you will eat at my table perpetually." He bowed low and said, "What is your servant that you should be concerned for a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned the servant of Saul and said to him, He bypassed that. He didn't even respond to that. "All that belonged to Saul and to all of his house, I have given to your son, to the son of your master. You will work the ground for him." I got to stay seated so I'm in focus, but I want to run. Remember what we said. When the curse came on Adam, what was a part of the curse? The ground would work in opposition to you. It would work against you. You would have to till the ground to get it to produce, right? Now, we understand that the world is still cursed, so the ground is still cursed. But now that the blessing has come back on us, the ground for us should start to produce in our favor. Why? It's not that the blessing is back on the ground, but the blessing is back on us. David looks at Mephibosheth and says, "The ground that belonged to your father and to your grandfather, I'm giving back to you." Not much a lame man can do with ground that he can't till, with ground that will work in opposition to him. But God says, "Don't worry about that." And he says, "Listen, you to his servant. He says, you will work the ground for him. You will bring in the produce so that the son of your master will have food to eat. He said to the servant, you will work the ground for him so that he will have food to eat. What is he saying to Mephibosheth? There's nothing that you can do to cause the ground to produce. Why? You're lame on your feet. But I will cause the ground to produce for you, and you don't have to do a thing. I have my servants go out and gather and work the ground. Come on, I'm preaching good. I hope you're out there shouting today. Do you see that this is a picture of the covenant that would be established at the cross, tying us back into what happened in the garden when the ground started to work against humanity? And now we have the establishing of a covenant between David and Jonathan, and Mephibosheth just gets the benefits of it. And when the ground was given back to him and he couldn't produce, God said, don't worry about it. I will make sure the ground produces for you. Why? Because he received the blessing, not because of what he could do. One last thing. David said, perpetually, you will eat at my table. What I love about that is Mephibosheth was lame in his feet, couldn't walk. But I just have this image of him being seated at the king's table. Do you know what you can't see when you're seated at a table? Lame feet. And he said, you're sit at my table perpetually. What is he saying? The king's table will hide your brokenness. Let me say it to you this way. Your feet may fail, but your rights will never fail. What do I mean by that? I might be broken, but the blessing and favor of God will cover me perpetually, will keep me seated in heavenly places with him, with the blessing applied to my life, that I am perpetually covered. My brokenness is perpetually hidden. Is there any left in the house of Jonathan that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And I'm saying to you today, is there any left? Is there any in Christ that he may show kindness to for Jesus' sake? If that's you today, that's what we respond and we say, here I am, Lord, in my brokenness, in my undeservingness, but I'll take it. I'll take what you want to give me. I'll receive the blessing. Not because I deserve it, not because I've done anything to give it, to get it, but because my Father, Jesus, entered into a covenant with his Father God that I might receive and be a partaker of the covenant. Father, I pray today for every person listening and watching today who might feel like, you know, I don't deserve this. This is beyond me. This is too good. This isn't something that I feel like I can even take. Father, I pray today that you would help us recognize that it is too good. It is beyond us. We are undeserving. And that's what causes us to lift our hands and lift our voice and praise you and thank you and glorify you and live our lives in gratitude and praise and celebration of your name. Because you have given us, you have made us heirs of a covenant that we didn't even have the ability to enter into, that you have made us joint heirs with your Son when we didn't deserve it, when there was nothing that we could do to earn it or receive it. You just made a way. You not only forgave us, you not only saved us, you not only gave us eternal life, but you turned around and said, I will bless you. I will multiply you. I will cover your descendants. And it's not because of what we have done. It's because of what my Son has done on the cross. So all that we do is say, Father, I receive it today. I receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you that I am blessed. I thank you that my name is now blessing. My name is now multiplying. And it's all in response because of what your Son provided at the cross. I receive it. It's mine. And I walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you see how this you know, again, some people would hear, if they don't know Jesus on the surface and say, oh, blessing. Oh, everybody just wants blessed. Everybody, you know, it's about the material. No. That's why we lift our hands in gratitude. That's why when we come into worship, we should be shouting and dancing and spinning and rejoicing, like losing our natural minds. Why? Because what he has done is so incredible that I can't even put words to it. I don't celebrate out of pride. I don't celebrate out of, look at me. I celebrate out of, this is the covenant of Christ. And again, I would have stopped at forgiveness. I was Jesus. Like, all right, I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to give him eternal life, but let's not get crazy with this thing. He did it. I'm just letting you know what somebody else did for you, right? Like, I can't make you take it. I can't make you reject it. I'm just letting you know what he did for you. And if you're like, well, I don't believe in that blessing and that prosperity and multiply, you know, then don't. I'm just letting you know what Christ died on the cross to give you. If you want it, rise up and take it. It's yours. It's covenant. Can't earn it. It's just yours because you are in Christ. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I want to remind you, we got prayer tomorrow night at 6:30 and of course service at 7 p.m. And I also want to just bring attention. We are starting off our Valor Cohort campus right here at Hope City Church. Hey, come on, Tanisha. Tanisha's preaching good on these lives. I love it. She says he always outdoes himself. Yes, he does. And but we're starting this Valor Cohort right here at Hope City Church, which means you can be an online student of Valor Christian College, and we can do this together here at the Hope City Church campus. So we're very excited about that. So I never want to force people or put weight on people, because it is a commitment. There is, you know, grants available and, you know, you can go back to college with pennies on the dollar, because of all the grants that you can get and being attached to Hope City that will give you grants because we're a partner, network. But then Hope City's going to help and step in that way. So it's pennies on the dollar to go. But I really believe that you really should be led of the Lord. But I believe that there are many who want to step forward in ministry and do greater things in ministry or know more about your Bible or perfect. You know, we should never stop learning. We talked on the lives not long ago about the moment we stop learning is the moment we stop growing, right? So who can cap us? Can Satan cap us? No, we cap ourselves in when we stop expanding, right? So I think that for some people, this will be a great next step. And here's the awesome thing about it. I know we work. I'm going to have five kids and pastor a church and run a television network. And I'm going back. I'm going back because there are some things that I think I need to grow in. But here's the thing about it is you can do one class a semester. You know, you can do five classes, you know, whatever that looks like for you. But we're going to gather here at the Hope City Church campus and, you know, encourage one another as we go on this journey together. So if you are interested in this, you can stop by Connections on a Sunday morning and get this. You can just go to Valor College website and sign up there. ValorCollege.edu. You can text anything to 717-500-3575 and just let us know you're interested and we'll get the information to you. So no pressure on that, but do prayerfully consider, Lord, is there an area of my life that you want me to lean into in regards to education? They are an accredited college, so any type of Pell Grants and all of that stuff is eligible for them, but they help walk you through all that. Anyway, that's my little pitch for that. It's not a sales pitch because I'm not trying to get you to do something outside of God. I'm just trying to encourage you. If you feel that little stirring in your heart for this and you just need somebody to step in and say, just do it, right? Then it's for you. And if you don't, then don't do it. But if that's you and you feel that, I just want to encourage you in that today. All right. Thanks for being with me. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning as we dive into more of covenant, more of blessing, and more of what God is trying to produce in your life.